It's like if you're watching classic footage of O.J. Simpson play football, is it tarnished? You're like, well, he was a good football player.
Well, like, I watch Naked Gun all the time. O.J. Simpson's in that, and I'm like, sure, every time I'm like, ugh.
That guy murdered someone.
He murdered somebody, but damn it if he isn't funny.
It kind of makes it funnier.
It kind of does.
Oh, he has a sense of humor. I'm like killers. Killers are like me. They're so relatable.
No, I'm just getting ready to intro. I gotta get psyched up.
Wait, can I do it? Can I do it this week?
Sure. But I just got psyched up.
You're gonna
and
ruin
I just
the
got
psych.
Like really mellowed out. So
gonna ruin the psych. Hey, welcome to Far.
All right, everyone. Thank you for listening to From Under a Rock.
No,
welcome,
you got
welcome. Hey, everyone. Welcome to From Under a Rock, the podcast where we take our friends and force them to watch movies that we think they should have seen by now against their will, and then we rate them. I'm Mike Bourbon, a.k.a. Well, no, my a.k.a. is Mike Bourbon, but I'm Michael Ornelas. To my right is...
Ryan Evans.
To my left...
Wow. That's, no. Okay. Directly across from him is Steven Zurita.
Now, in the audio version, you're just going to sound really selfish. No, I'm getting introduced first.
And I'm James McAnally, a.k.a. McDoodles. Unlike Michael, my pseudonym hasn't taken over my persona just yet.
We were talking about, I think it was on the Whiplash episode with Superman. What is the alter ego? Is it Clark Kent or is it Superman?
Yeah, exactly. Michael
is
becoming Mike Kal-El. Bourbon.
I'm taking it. I'm like Hulk Hogan circa 2005, just one in the same.
Yeah. I'll pretend I get that reference.
Oh, no, like it's...
Hulk Hogan in real life
was pretty much
the character.
Yeah. I mean, he still is.
He became
a year to sound smarter.
He became a singularity among himself. Sort of like, well, I feel like Macho Man Randy Savage kind of did that too.
He did.
Yeah. Poor Macho Man Randy Savage.
Can you pass the gravy? Ooh, yeah. Ooh, yeah. Cup of coffee. Yeah. I'm gonna take you to
I couldn't do it. I don't know
get
what.
Get in the car, kids. It's time for school.
I just
we should briefly mention that the movie we watched this week was Captain Phillips.
Hey, yeah, that's
picked
true.
By
yeah.
one Steven Zurita over
Steuben
here.
Steuben.
Hey, that was me.
Our pick 3 out of 4 in this
first
big,
new cycle.
The reunion cycle. Here.
You make it sound like it's a reunion tour. Like, I mean, it kind of is, but you know, when I think of reunion tours, I think of like this band's way on their way out.
That's
well, we are all wearing leather pants.
Or you think of Fleetwood Mac, who's been doing a reunion tour for like the last 10 years or something.
We added more dates. No, it's a different tour.
Big surprise. Or was it Madonna that was doing that?
I don't know.
Dude, Rolling Stones is doing a tour coming to the States, mm-hmm. I think. I'm excited
Van
for that.
Halen wow. is doing a tour. I really thought they were done. I saw them in concert 3 years ago, and I was like, I don't think they're doing anymore.
Hey, guys,
this.
Bands I like are doing a tour.
Yeah.
I don't know. I figured it.
I'm going to see Ratatat next week.
Is that a
really?
Really?
Dude, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, you want to come?
Yes.
Cool.
Absolutely. Wait, what? When? We'll talk about it later.
Guys, right. Let's make plans. Let's make personal plans.
So, Captain Phillips.
All over the place. Well, yeah, let's hang on. Let's
come
around.
To you in a bit.
Go around. I want to catch up with you guys a little bit.
Okay.
Michael, what have you been up to?
There's like a camera dangerously close to my face, and I feel so oily.
Come on, you're a professional.
What did I do this week? Not too much, but I have something coming up this weekend. My ex-girlfriend and I had a romantic getaway planned to one night in Carlsbad, one night in Coronado at the famous Hotel del Coronado. And I am keeping all of the romantic plans the same, but just going with my roommate, Trey.
This is like...
Oh, man, that's super exciting.
This
right?
is like so many sitcom episodes that you're playing out right now. Specifically Arrested Development, I can
yes,
think
I
of off the top of my head.
So, yeah.
Well,
well
be
I
nice
hope,
for
I hope
you,
and you two have a
great
lovely
time.
We'll
yeah.
be nice and
get
oily.
To know each other really well.
Go easy on that body chocolate, though.
Oh. Don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me how to enjoy my weekend.
Sorry.
I know what a good time
go,
entails.
Go hard into the body chocolate.
Thank you. That will be very hard from the body chocolate.
Hard body chocolate.
I am also going away this weekend, on a trip with my family. I'm meeting them in Houston, and then they are getting on the plane with me, and we are all flying to New York.
Oh, that's gonna be fun.
Mm-hmm. What fur?
We are spending the weekend there. To watch movies, basically.
Ones like, that you haven't seen before?
A film festival? Ones
that we have seen many times before, the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
You're flying... Is it a special event?
It is. They are playing all three extended editions of the movies with New York Symphony accompanying them live.
Are you serious?
Okay, that's kind of cool.
That sounds amazing.
I'm sorry, but I have just never been able to get into Lord of the Rings. I recognize that they're great movies. I will say objectively they are great movies.
Steven,
and
you're the king of getting into things like that.
I can point out why they're good movies. I just can't get into them. Because as a kid, they were just too long, and I just fell asleep, and I was never able to finish them until college. But by that point, so many people had told me, oh, what's wrong with you, that I just can't get into
Steven,
it.
Steven, you're
point.
Like the movie-watching equivalent of an old guy saying, get off my lawn.
Yeah, I am.
We've known that.
Well, I kind of went to the movies not knowing what Lord of the Rings was about, but my parents were just like, oh, it'll be like fun fairy tales and, you know, elves and stuff. And they walked down, they're like, there's a lot more decapitation than I thought there would be. I loved it though. I thought it was
awesome. There was more than zero, so it was definitely more than I expected.
Yeah, that's true. So,
James, what about you? What are you up to this weekend? Or what have you been doing?
What have I been doing? It's been a little bit of a busy week. I went hiking the other day, out in the wilderness. And I forgot how ill-equipped I am for the wilderness. It's just like, I think I found something about myself. I don't like being outside, like, ever.
It's the worst.
It's really, like, outside is just the pits.
Like, I will
and get, sometimes actual pits.
I will get my mail if it's on my way to the car, which it never is. It's on the way to my roommate's car. So, like, if he's driving, I'll check the mail. Other than that,
Why go outside? Like you said, a couple of minutes, I don't know, like going out to do my laundry, like there's plants and stuff. I don't dig it.
Eventually, we're just going to have Oculus headsets and have, you know, the entire outside experience.
Yeah.
In the comfort
it's like,
of
well,
my
I
home.
Don't even have to leave the comfort of my house. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yep. Why? There's trees in my Oculus. Why do I need to go out and touch it? It's stupid.
We're almost there, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to happen.
But yeah, that's about all. All
right. I'm proud of you for trying, though.
I gave it a shot.
Steven, anything to report on your end?
That sounded so disappointed. I went back to Texas last weekend for Easter, so I had a good couple days back home. It's blue bonnet season, so I got to see those. I think if I was to go a year without seeing that, I've lost Texas, you know? I don't know. That's just a really Texas thing.
It's pretty easy to find.
Blue bonnets? Oh, Texas.
Texas,
yeah.
Like, you can't really...
It's a huge state.
No,
it sounds
like you know what? You know the... I don't know what airlines you guys fly, but you know how there's always one or two seats that have extra leg room because they're by the exit row?
Mm-hmm. I only fly first class, so to me, every seat has extra leg room.
You're one of those, really?
I
don't mean that in a negative way.
Actually, the last 2 years, I have only flown first class because my dad has such status with United that even when I book a flight, I get automatically upgraded.
Oh, that's
Are you
cool.
serious?
And that's he's awesome. Losing his status this year, and I'm not going to be able to tolerate flying.
Why does he have his status?
Because he travels
book
a lot for work.
Okay, yeah. He flies a lot. All right, but yeah, no, I got the exit row seat. So the plane I got the exit row seat on, there was only like maybe 8 other people on the plane. So everybody had like 3 rows to themselves. It was the best plane
ever. And don't you love it when the waitress comes and offers you free alcohol and a hot towel? Is that just my experience?
I love it when I can, like,
you don't
lay
even drink or use towels.
Yeah.
That is so unfair.
You are wrong about 0 of those things.
I started this story thinking, like, hey, guys, look at me. I'm flying in style, but Michael's just taking all of that from me.
Hey, man, I'm the talent. What can
so
I say?
So I guess I don't have a story this week. You're like, yeah, Texas, whatever. Oh, you think that's fun flying? I do better than that all the time.
My family has always been travelers of the Airbus Southwest Airlines.
Woo-woo.
And mm-hmm. I've never ridden first class in my life. And I know people like you who will only fly first class.
God, like it's you. It's a recent development that'll be stopping pretty soon.
Yeah, but you are going to be disappointed.
I'm going to be petrified.
Yeah. I've only done it twice, but it's pretty amazing. One of those times I talked about on this podcast.
That's right, you did.
What we haven't yet talked about on this podcast is the film Captain Phillips, which we all just watched, so we should talk about it.
True.
Let's talk about
it. Yeah, Captain Phillips was my pick. It came out in 2013, so it's only a couple years old, but it got a lot of Academy Award nominations that year. It's a film starring Tom Hanks. The story of it is he is Captain Phillips of this freighter, the Maersk Alabama, and it gets boarded by pirates, and there's a huge hostage situation. The film, you know, it's him dealing with the hostage situation, both in, you know, protecting his crew on the ship, but then it progresses to where he is then taken as a single hostage on a lifeboat, and the Navy has to find a way to rescue him without him being killed by the Somali pirates. So
preferably.
Preferably, but there's a little bit of leeway, right. You know.
And this came out in 2013, yeah. And it was up for a few awards, if I recall.
Are we just repeating things Steven just said?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
It was. Yeah, it was.
I'm sorry. I was checking audio stuff. Don't judge me. Don't judge me.
Yeah, no, it was up for a lot of awards. It didn't win. I don't think it won any Academy, but it was nominated for a ton. It won the Dallas Film Award or something. I don't know.
The one that counts.
Yeah. Texas man. Whoop. I don't know what I'm doing.
And and it was Ryan and I who hadn't
seen
it.
We were D-rocked, yes.
Yeah.
Now,
D-rocked. I may as well admit that I was pretty much D-rocked as well. What I remember of this movie was like the first 30 minutes and the ending, which basically means I saw it, but I totally fell asleep.
I figured you kind of fell asleep in the middle of this one, but we woke you up.
No.
Your eyes were closed.
For about 20 seconds.
Those are the 20 seconds that count. I don't know. I forget what point.
It was the climax.
No, I know. I was just struggling because there was sunlight glaring off the TV, and I was like straining my eyes so hard to see that my eyes just got tired. And
oh, I thought you were going to say you were falling asleep during the climax, because one of the notes I had about this is that...
I have that problem pretty often, and girls are not pleased about it.
Okay. Let me know how things go with Trey.
Yeah. Fall asleep in some body chocolate.
No, I think it's a great movie, actually. It's I like rushed to get it on DVD, but I think the third act was kind of slow. Like, it's intense. Like, if you take out the music is great, but I think if you took that music out, you'd be like, okay, this is really taking a while. They're like, okay, do we have a shot yet? Nope. Cut back to the boat. Cut back. Do we have a shot yet? I got one, but not the other two. Well, we need all three. Cut back and forth.
So if I could add my two cents here, I actually had that exact experience.
You were a hostage in a boat, or were you like the Navy sniper who's like, I don't have a shot, sir.
Put on the brakes.
I was the pirate, actually.
You were the captain now.
I was the captain then. Not anymore. This podcast is out of my control. No, I was a couple of years ago when I first came to LA, I got an internship at a trailer house that was doing the trailers for Captain Phillips at the time. I had totally forgotten about this when you picked it last week. I just remembered it before we started recording. And basically my job one day was to watch an assemblage of like raw footage from the movie and transcribe all the dialogue and everything. Mm-hmm. So I saw the last half hour of the movie exactly as you were describing, without music.
just cutting back and forth. No.
And do I have a shot? And it
no tricks. A lot of that. No tricks, Cap. No
honestly,
tricks, Irish.
At one point, I was like, wait, am I just seeing like multiple takes of the same line? Because it's getting really repetitive.
Yeah, it's
here.
Very repetitive.
And yeah, they're saying the same thing over and over again. And
I don't think that's such a bad thing. I mean,
I think the music covers it up, definitely, but it's just something I noticed that they have hit the same note a lot of times. Not
yeah,
musically,
but at the
but
same
story-wise.
Time, like in that situation and with their motivations, what other notes are there? I mean, they're paranoid, and that's about it.
Yeah.
They want to get out alive. They preferably want to get away with money.
So let's start with character then. Mm-hmm. I think for what this movie is, which I think is kind of a...
These are based on true events.
Yes, yes. Yeah. It's based on true events. I remember there being some controversy around awards season when this movie was nominated. Captain Phillips himself saying it wasn't completely accurate and such. Do you guys remember any of this?
I don't remember.
I wish I could tell you exactly, specifically bullet points.
Well, I mean, obviously certain things are going to be dramatized and all so yes, true,
it,
you know.
It movies. Seems, yeah, it seems like a very dramatic Hollywood rendition of the true events, which is, you know, totally fine for a movie. But they did manage to squeeze in some nice little bits of character, I thought, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Specifically with Tom Hanks' character, Rich Phillips, and Musée.
I think it's Musée.
I think they said
Musée. Musée sounds more accurate.
We'll call him Moose.
I was going to call him Skinny because that was his nickname.
Yeah. Skinny and Irish.
Skinny. Yeah. Skinny and Irish. Coming, best buds.
Coming to CBS this fall.
They would buy that show.
I thought the two of them had some really solid interaction. And there's...
Bilal.
You know, it's expected.
Oh, I love Bilal.
Freaking Bilal, man. Just so incompetent.
Can't do anything, right? To be fair, he's a kid.
Yes. No, that's... I think that was kind of the point, was that he was just in over his head.
Oh, yeah.
And
he was like the coyote in the Roadrunner cartoons.
Yeah.
Oh, you laid out glass for me. Darn it.
Well, I think, like he was one of the... Like, at first, I didn't really care too much about him, but towards the end, especially when Captain Phillips actually has a chance to interact with him, you know, there's a nice moment where he's like, you're just a kid, you know, just give up.
And then Bilal's kind of on his side. He's like, Captain Phillips, stop writing. They'll hurt you. Don't do that. You know, he really cares and looks out for him.
At first, he just seemed like, oh, bad guy henchman number three or something. But, you know, eventually you realize that, you know, he's just a kid.
They actually, I feel, did a really good job with... Yeah, there is totally that tendency in movies with, like, a primary antagonist and protagonist and kind of a smaller cast for the rest of the crew to feel like henchmen.
Mm-hmm.
And here they all had their identity. Maybe not the guy who was driving
the
boat as
half
much.
Half of them had identity.
But like the big guy who like really just wanted to
be... He was
an
angry guy.
He's
just
kind of short tempered. The guy who was driving the boat, you know, and confused
then,
guy.
And then Bilal. And like three of the four of the pirates all actually had some sort of distinguishing characteristics other than they're just pirates. And I always appreciate that. I like...
Well, it wouldn't be interesting to watch if it was just like the good guys against the bad guys. Yeah. It's just like the guys who are doing what they have to scrape by versus the guys who are trying to protect their crew. And
I mean, if this movie had been made 30 years ago, that's absolutely what it would have been.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right. And to the point, you know, I thought they did do a pretty good job of distinguishing them and making them feel like people to the point where it was kind of painful to watch them all get blown away at the end.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely.
Well, I know, just guessing how the true events unfolded, I'm like, I know how this is going to turn out, but there's got to be some way they can just subdue these guys without actually killing them, right? Especially poor little Bilal, you know?
I thought was interesting is they have that whole conflict where Bilal is like being told, tie him up and blindfold him. And you can see that internal struggle he's having, which I totally appreciated seeing. And then as soon as, like, because I don't know what the actual events were. I know other people know it better than me. But my interpretation of what I saw was he was making a decision to go with the rest of his guys instead of stand up for the captor.
I'm the captor now.
For Captain Phillips. And as an audience member, you're like, okay, he made this choice, and now I'm okay knowing that he dies.
Well, I still wasn't okay knowing that he dies, because I think he's just following orders, because, to be honest, the other guys have a gun, and he kind of looks up to these guys, and I don't know what his society is like, but he's stuck. He can't really bail out now, or else the whole operation, you know, then it'll end up much worse. But I want to backtrack. I think, James, you said, you know, these guys aren't just pirates, and I really like that about this movie, because they're not just pirates. They're fishermen. Like, you feel a little bit for their situation, where they're kind of pushed to this desperate attempt to, you know, piracy is the only way they have to make money, because, you know, these big American ships come in and not steal all their fish, but they take all the fish, and there's nothing left for the fishermen. So,
well, there's also,
need to make a living.
You know, the fact that, like you said, they're being pushed into it by the warlord. I forget what his name was, but
he's only mentioned like twice.
He's only mentioned twice, but it's clear that like he's the whole reason that they're being forced like to pursue and capture these ships.
And there's that line of like, last year I captured this kind of ship,
$6 million.
He's like, yeah, then why are you here now?
Yeah, just goes to
fund
the...
And you can just tell that, like, that got to him. Like, yeah, I'm just...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I will say, I did not like Captain Phillips' number one, or his
first mate.
Yeah, his first mate.
His
reads, every single one of them, I was just like, he feels like he doesn't want to be there.
I think well, his character seems like a competent, likable guy, but yes, I agree that the actor playing him was...
I can agree with that. I like the character.
I disagree. I mean, I can... Well, hear me out. The movie starts off...
No, wait,
off
I agree.
The entire, I don't know. I'm the... I don't know what I am now. No, the movie starts off on the crew before they run in with the pirates. They know they're going through pirate waters, but they set up like, man, you're going on a... His wife in the car is like, man, you're going on another ship. Man, how many of these? And he's just bored. Tom Hanks gets on the ship and everybody's bored. And they're like, oh, yeah, you know, the engines check out. And no one really wants to be there. No one really wants to be stuck in a ship in a tin can for however many days to deliver some, like, it's just like food and water. But then once the pirates come, then everybody's, you know, they get a little more excited and they're like, oh, geez, we got to do that. Now, to kind of agree with you, yeah, his first mate doesn't quite amp up as much as he should. Mm. And they don't give him as many lines, but at that point. But, you know, towards the end of the ship's arc, like, you know, once the Navy comes in, the freighter, you know, you never see the freighter again. He's like, all right, yeah, let's get out of the way. Navy does their thing. Yeah, he is pretty subdued at that point. He should be a little more into the situation.
Well, I was referring mainly to the actor rather than the character.
Yeah.
Like, I felt like the character was necessary, but the actor, to me, just felt sort of...
Non-committed.
Yeah, well, exactly.
I don't know. I think his delivery was...
It was actually
relevant a little bit.
Well, I actually, like, going into this movie not knowing what kind... What...
Did you not hear that
Michael's
joke?
No, I didn't. Sorry.
you'll hear it when you can
back.
Go back and listen
okay,
to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I'll go back and listen to it. Anyways, I was surprised going into the movie, not really knowing too much about it, how little of it actually took place on the ship. I was under the impression that it was sort of like we're fending off
a giant game of hide and seek.
Yeah, exactly. Which... I'm, you know, like, I guess that wouldn't have been as fun to see.
Mm.
Do you think it would be more fun to see?
Maybe.
It depends on how they would have
seen it. I mean, based on what I remembered of this movie and then what I saw when I was awake through 99.9% of it, I really liked the movie that we got. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, so did I. And it was sort of refreshing once they... like went on the life raft and, you know, Captain Phillips got taken away. But I was under the impression that was going to happen much later in the movie.
Yeah.
Cause I had seen it in trailers or whatever.
Yeah. You don't really see the life raft in the trailers.
Actually, I remember the trailer did have the shot where it like goes off the boat and plummets into the ocean.
Okay. And I think at the end of the trailer, it's bobbing around in the ocean a little bit too.
Yeah, the trailer promised, I think, much more of the ship. And I enjoyed the parts on the ship more just because you kind of see Tom Hanks. He's way more active. You know,
he's
the protagonist.
Kind of
I love the way he outsmarts it, the pirates, because it's pretty genius. You know, he has a code word for like, all right, no matter what I say, don't do it unless I say this code
supper
word.
Time.
Everybody go hide. I need you to shut off the ship so that way they can't move the ship. You know, these are really good procedures to have in place. But then he's also like, you know, little non-regulation things like, okay, yeah. And he puts his hand on the walkie-talkie button. All right, yeah, we'll start at the top and we'll systematically go down so that way his crew knows where the pirates are going to be so his crew can help out. Mm-hmm. And I personally also think it's just kind of funny the way he plays along that whole time hey, man, do you want this food? Yeah, you should eat that. Well, okay, let's check that. Oh, what? Is there a problem? I don't know why I thought that was funny. Mm-hmm. Just the way he's leading him on, but agreeing.
Yeah.
That, for me, underlines my biggest problem with this movie in that I guess because it's so they want to tie it closely to the real events, the pirates just seem incompetent and outmaneuvered and outgunned at every turn.
Hey, follow me down this way. No tricks now, but okay.
Yeah. Okay, I'll do what you say. Just don't trick me.
Oh, no, he's got glass. Oh, well, oh, no. Well, let's get some first aid. But no tricks
send
now.
Send one of your people out to negotiate with us.
No tricks now.
Doesn't that mean that we'll just have a hostage now?
And, exactly. Yeah. I agree. I don't see why he agreed to that. Maybe like tensions were high or something and they were delirious.
Well, they had been on that for days on that lifeboat, too.
I do think like, you know, they're such a rudimentary little crew of four people that actually make it onto the ship, and they're kind of, you know, they've never been on a ship like that big, and the, mm-hmm. they're kind of lost, you know, which, you know, if they were trying to depict real life events, is great, I think, in terms of building suspense for a movie. Not as 100% effective, I think. It's and then it gets to the end whenever they're just barely holding on to their one last hostage, Captain Phillips, and you know they've got three giant naval warships and a team of snipers and a helicopter,
lights shining down
everywhere, and like no matter what, they are just done, right?
Right.
Like, the worst possible thing that's going to happen is Captain Phillips dies, which
and yeah, once he dies, they'll just shoot down the ship,
which is, you know, he's our hero, and those are legitimate stakes.
Legitimate stakes.
I could go for some legitimate stakes. Let's open up a restaurant, guys.
Okay, now that I've painted myself in this corner, it's hard for me to get out without saying, like, oh, I don't care if Captain Phillips had made it out. You know, I really am happy that this is a true story and a true success story.
Yeah.
And I think it's amazing how, you know, in this movie, Captain Phillips is portrayed, as you said, very competently handling the necessary protocol.
Yeah.
Like, he did a fantastic job of that. So I don't want to, I don't want to undercut anything he did there. I'm just saying, as a movie, it doesn't quite.
And as a character, I mean, at one point he even is willing to sacrifice himself for a member of his crew. And I think that really paints him in a positive light, whether or not he actually did, you know, in the movie, that counts.
Right.
Now I want to talk about something that you don't often see. So usually you get the moral of a story at the end, right? Watching this not in theaters but on DVD, you get the moral of the story before you even press play. Piracy is not a victimless crime.
Yeah. You wouldn't download a car, would you? You remember that one?
Every time you download a movie,
hijack a ship.
Every time you download a movie, you are taking Tom Hanks hostage. His films, you are taking him in that boat for days.
However long it takes.
And okay, listen close. We're gonna send the Navy after you,
guys. I'm not gonna lie. I actually pirated this movie.
You're what's wrong with Africa.
I'm okay with that. Out of sight, out of mind.
Oh man, that is kind of funny that it doesn't say piracy is a. I hope someone joked.
They
kind of
had to, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you're gonna put an anti-piracy thing,
this is the movie. This is the movie. And Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was expecting Jack Sparrow to show up and like kick him in. He's like, I'm the captain now.
You know, when I was thinking about challenges for this week, one of the ones I was thinking about was
I don't do impressions well.
The pirates are Jack Sparrow in this crew, but they're the Pirates of the Caribbean. But I didn't do that. So.
Yeah, I was half expecting like the Curse of the Black Pearl, you know, to just like come over the horizon and start
the Kraken,
the side of it, the Kraken to come over to the side of the boat.
One thing I actually wanted to point out when the pirates did board the boat is in real life, the director didn't let Tom Hanks's crew and the pirate crew meet until that scene. So when they're like looking over at the boat, oh no, there's these guys coming. Let me see who. Okay, they're counting how many people. They're like legit finding out these people for the first time.
That's really cool, actually.
So the scene where he goes, I'm the captain now, that's when they met for the first time. And it's kind of funny if you watch the behind the scenes on the DVD.
Because he's like, which of these guys is going to say this line?
No, really. He's looking around like Tom Hanks is really trying to be like, all right, who is in charge here?
Yeah.
And then, you know, they do their whole dialogue and then the director yells cut. And then you see Tom Hanks go, man, that was good. Welcome aboard, man. And then they like start like handshaking, like good to meet you. Because the whole time they're like, we're gonna have some pirates on board. That's all you know.
Wow.
I mean, they had
that's
lines,
really cool.
Yeah, that's like an honest first
that's
meeting.
Cool. And I think Tom Hanks translates would be awesome
to work with.
Yeah, absolutely. He's so cool.
You know, that is what I would consider the Spielberg method too.
Yeah.
The same thing. Spielberg did the same thing on Saving Private Ryan, where the core group of heroes led by Tom Hanks
They didn't know who was playing Private Ryan?
They knew it was Matt Damon, but they weren't allowed to meet up with him. Like, they were a group of friends by the end of shooting that movie, you know, because they had actually, and Spielberg made them go through boot camp and Hell Week and all this to like actually
build
get ready
camaraderie and stuff.
To build camaraderie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And intentionally let Matt Damon out of all that stuff and pampered him and gave him special treatment.
Yeah, that's right. So that, because in the movie, they're like, oh, you're like the spoiled kid. We're like dying for you. Yeah, do you deserve this?
They actually resented him from what I heard.
Yeah, I thought that was great.
Have you gained weight?
Another interesting note is in Castaway, I don't know, maybe this is in Tom Hanks' like contract, but he actually didn't meet Wilson until he was on the island.
I think there was some legality behind that, you know.
Like, till he put that bloody hand on the volleyball. Just literally did not meet him.
Another thing I wanted to talk about was there's a little bit of imbalance in this movie, I think, where it's the movie is front-loaded a little bit.
With all the action?
No, with him getting dropped off by his wife and saying goodbye to her, and then he writes an email to her. But then we don't get any
resolution of that.
We don't get anything from that, resolution or not. We don't get her side of the story at all. He's told your family knows you're fine and you can talk to them soon. But in my mind, it goes back to another Tom Hanks movie, Apollo 13, where we, you know, we are with the crew on the Apollo 13, going through all of those, all those dangers with them. But then we also get the side of the story from his wife back on Earth.
Yeah. I think this movie could have used a scene where his family, they mention his kids who we never see.
Yeah,
you
we
only
never
see
even
his wife.
Them
watching the news or something. Not a big thing. Just to know that they're, he cares about them. I like to see them care about him.
I was at least expecting a bookend where after they rescue him, you know, a reunion with his wife or something. Mm-hmm. But no, we just get a title card and a black screen and then credits. Yeah, and that's it.
It didn't bug me that much.
That's kind of one of those things, though, with based on true event movies, especially ones like this. It's kind of at that point,
where
you
do
know,
you draw the line?
Yeah, where do you draw the line? A. But B, you know that they reunited. Yeah. But it is emotionally satisfying to see that.
Here's the thing.
I'm just saying Apollo 13 is a really good movie.
That is a good movie. I have not seen that in way too long.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Why would so you do that, it might as well count as I haven't seen it. It's been that long. Okay. So.
Okay.
You were talking about how the movie was kind of front-loaded with action, too.
Oh, no, I thought that's what you meant. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that idea. Oh.
I loved the action.
I thought it was great.
There
was a lot
evading.
Of tension.
Yeah, tension
was
great.
There was a Home Alone moment, you know?
Yes.
I stepped on with some glass.
Oh, this glass on the floor.
And then he looks up and a giant string and a paint can comes flying down and hits him in the face.
There were a lot of great gags. I'm glad that they could like kind of break up the drama.
Tom Hanks is like, hey guys, I'm up here and I'm all alone. You better not come catch me.
And they're like, we're called the Sticky Bandits.
Steven, you had mentioned the
score.
Let's
not tell Captain Phillips, too.
Oh, my bad. The Wet Bandits.
I did mention
that. You had mentioned the score. I just wanted to really quickly say that I thought that it was very, very well done. I'm not sure exactly who did it, but I really thought that it underlined a lot of the action very well. It brought attention to itself when it needed to, but it...
We were saying it kind of saves the third act to a certain extent.
Yeah, exactly. Because I feel like...
I have the comparative view from
Yeah, you were the one who could
it.
See it without the music.
And it hadn't... it hadn't really... I hadn't noticed just how repetitive the third act, especially with the shot. Do we have a shot? Do we have a shot? Until you guys mentioned it. And now, like, thinking back, I'm just like, oh, yeah, it really was kind of like that.
But at the same time, I think on first viewing, it's what the audience wants, and you're building to what they want. We want them to have that shot, and they're building our suspense by showing them almost having it but not. So I think that repetition is building to something that does pay off, and therefore I'm fine with it.
Mm-hmm. And it is probably the most intense part of the movie is where they actually take the shots.
Yeah.
And, you know, blood splatters on Tom Hanks' face and everything. And he's in shock for 5 minutes afterwards. That is probably the most intense part of the movie.
So I want to say, as soon as he gets on the Navy ship, they need to have it be someone's job where before he's like given all this medical attention and stuff, someone just give him a hug.
I know.
It was so like cold sterile. And like, yeah.
They should just have a guy in a teddy bear suit.
But no,
well,
but
there.
Really, no, I agree. Like, I agree so much. In my mind, imagined that happened. I was waiting for it to happen.
This guy needs consoling.
Oh, yeah, this is, you know, in my mind, I remembered the movie as he starts crying and he just, like, puts his head on the woman's shoulder and she goes, okay, there. But
she's just like,
never
she brushes him off. She's like a hair away from saying, okay, lift your arm. Stop crying. Lift your arm.
Yeah.
And again, with the music, you know, the music swells and gets very emotional at that point, to where it's kind of implying that, you know, he's safe and being comforted. But the medic's performance really doesn't convey that at all.
To be fair, that's probably how a Navy medic.
Absolutely. I wouldn't be surprised. Spot on. I wouldn't be surprised if they got a real Navy medic to do that part.
I did actually feel like she had almost a sense of warmth and pride when he was just saying thank you and she was saying you're welcome. It did sound very genuine. So that part I did enjoy that. Actually, it's a very small thing, but it went a long way.
It actually seemed condescending to me when she said you're welcome. Like, is it really necessary to say you're welcome at that point? You know, like,
I don't know. It landed with me. It's like, I was tearing up at the end.
It's like, when you say you're welcome, it's like, yes, you should be thanking me.
I could have been like back home. I could have been offshore, you know, something.
Listen,
like that.
I was at home watching TV and I got a call that you and your little crew couldn't deal with like four guys.
Like four bandits. I could deal with four bandits with one hand behind my back.
No need to thank me, maybe?
Maybe be a little more. Maybe don't drive by Somalia next time. Drive.
Here's a Whataburger. You know, just like something.
If if I was in shock, like, and someone gave me a Whataburger, I would be so happy,
right?
I had some I had some Tex-Mex back.
Actually,
home
that might put me
so happy.
That might put me further into shock. Actually.
Oh, you'd just be like, whoa.
You go into
you'd
a food
like
coma.
The driver. You'd be like the Somali driver
with my Whataburger.
You go into a food coma on top of being in shock, so you're just like dead.
So the Somali driver, I love. Because I think that they cast him because he can make one face and it's like surprise, wide-eyed surprise. Like, and he's always like, the camera's like always right below him. So his eyes look even bigger and you can't even see his eyebrows. He's looking like, what's going on back there?
He was probably,
what's going on? You should really watch the road.
I would probably, watch the sea, man. I would say that he's probably the character, the pirate who is the least,
the least fleshed out.
Yeah,
the least,
exactly.
And we may have mentioned that before. But he hits that note.
He hits that confused, I don't know what I'm doing, look.
But not as well as Bilal. Come on. Can we give a round of applause to Bilal?
Bilal snaps for Bilal.
Who I say went Bilal's to the wall. They didn't laugh because I said it earlier when it wasn't recording. Had I said it for the first time, it would have been gold.
We didn't laugh.
No, we didn't, actually.
I remember it differently.
One thing I want to point out, and we kind of talked about this during the movie, but the Navy, like, Tom Hanks is real, Captain Phillips is really smart with his codes, you know. He's saying like, oh yeah, well, you know, we'll go down in this way, and that way his crew knows, but the pirates don't know how they're gonna search. The Navy is just straight up like, all right, now you sit there in seat 15 and wear this vest. It's a uniform for you. It's like they're clearly marking him.
Put on the shirt. Make sure you put the shirt on.
Like, that'd be even better if they handed them the vest and they were like, pull this rope and like knock out gas spewed out. Why doesn't the Navy have that?
That's another example of what I was saying earlier, how it just makes those pirates look even more incompetent for no real reason.
Yeah,
They could have handled that a little more smoothly.
And it's like,
but no tricks.
Well, you know,
okay, you,
and obviously, like,
we will take these canisters of gas, but no tricks.
And it's like you said, any tensions were probably high in the real life scenario, and of course, they wrote as true to life, I would hope, as possible. But you would think that, you know, when the Navy is asking, let us hear Captain Phillips, you know, we need to know that he's actually there. That they in turn, when the Navy claims that they have the village elders with them, well, okay, put the village elders on. And it's like,
They're in the bathroom. I don't know. They're getting a sandwich. I can't can't bring them to the phone right
they
now.
They bought the whole they're on their way too much. And I was thinking, why didn't they just kill the skinny? Well, as soon as he got on the ship, or put him in shackles or something. But I thinking back, it's because if they demanded to talk to him, so that way they could talk to him, and then that crew would be reassured. I didn't realize that till my second viewing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they really do fall for it. Maybe in like Somalia, if you say no tricks, like the other person legit's like, all right, man, here's what's really happening. No tricks, man. I'm just going to be 100%.
No tricks. No tricks for you. And it's just like a bowl of tricks. Cereal.
Tricks are no tricks.
It's just like, the bunny just wanted the tricks.
Can we make a video meme of just like us offering him tricks or like magic card tricks or stuff like, or like skateboard tricks, and just cuts to him and he's like, no tricks, no tricks.
Yeah. Hey man, here's a video of Tony Hawk doing the 900.
Nope. No tricks.
All right, here's Tony Hawk just riding straight, no tricks.
Good.
Good. Good. That's the way I like, what I like.
Good. I will call you Irish.
Is Tony Hawk Irish?
I don't know.
No, probably not.
All right, guys.
Any more points on your notes there, Stephen?
The music was by Henry Jackson, I believe.
You're right. Yeah, one of the sixth Jackson brother.
And then he's over there, guys. I'm trying to write a score over here.
Now that would have been a movie. No,
it's just the Jackson 5 dancing to the score of Captain. You know what?
Michael Jackson was alive during the events of this movie.
It's true.
Whoa.
I don't know what you're trying to say by that, but
I don't know. Maybe Henry Jackson wanted to. Henry Jackson is in the Jackson 5. I don't know where we're going with this. Maybe he wanted to reconnect with the movie from when his brother was alive.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's not delivery. What was the joke?
It's not stretching at all.
I don't know. That's all right,
guys. Favorite. You want to rate this sucker?
I do. I do.
Sure.
Ryan, you want to go first?
I can. Summarize kind of what I went over before. I thought that the pirates were characterized very well, except for the part where they were painted as kind of incompetent imbeciles to a pretty great extent, actually. I was going to say a certain extent.
Tell us how you really feel.
I thought, as we said, the third act does get a little slow. I think it's an incredible story that doesn't quite translate to the big budget Hollywood action movie that it's pretending to be. And I'm going to give it a B plus.
Nice. I'll go next. I really enjoy this movie. I don't know why. Most Oscar bait, which is what this kind of was, it doesn't really appeal to me at first. But this one was like, oh, whoa, that is just an intense situation. Like, that's what you would write a movie about. I really enjoyed it, especially the stuff on the boat when they're evading the pirates and outsmarting the pirates and the glass and for some reason, I really like whatever food he had in the refrigerator when he was like, oh, why don't you eat that just to distract him. But I don't know what it is, but I want it. But Tom Hanks is also very inactive for like the last act, and in terms of acting, his accent kind of drops off as it gets more intense.
I noticed that too.
Like in the first car scene, you're like, oh, he's doing an accent there, and then it just goes away.
There's like the lowest stakes ever in a car ride versus being an.
And he's just pirate. Then it's just straight up Tom Hanks being like, oh, tell my wife I love her. But I mean, accent aside, I thought his acting was still good and emotional when
he's
it needed
one of the
to
best.
Be. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's just as a movie, he was very inactive, and you just watch the Navy come up with the plan instead of him, mm-hmm. which isn't as interesting because, of course, the Navy has unlimited resources. They're going to come up with something.
Right.
They don't need to be super smart. They can just use brute force. All in all, a solid movie, but just some flaws. I'm also going to give it a B+.
okay. Yeah, I would say that you guys kind of raised some good points about certain areas where the movie was lacking, particularly the not resolution of, is the wife okay? Like, is she distraught? And also the characters of the pirates being sort of outwitted when they, probably could have figured it out. So I would say that... it was still an enthralling and like edge of your seat movie,
But I am also going to give it a B+.
All right, guys. I liked it. I liked it a lot more than I remember liking it the first time I kind of saw it. It was not the kind of movie, though, that I'm going to catch myself watching a ton. I mean, this may be the last time I see it. I may watch it once more a long time from now. I mean, it's solid, but nothing I don't feel like I've seen before. But really well made, well acted by Tom Hanks. I also am going to give it a B+.
And that
so
makes,
give me a second to need some average time? This out.
I can vamp for a bit.
I think he's got this one.
I believe in you, Michael.
What is it?
What's
is
the
it?
Average?
You're killing me with anticipation.
I am the captain now.
Oh, yeah, sure.
That was fabled.
That was unexpected.
Yeah. It's a B+.
Oh, okay.
Woo!
Yay!
I'm the captain of math, is what I meant.
As far as I remember, that's our first unanimous rating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think
no,
so.
No, I could swear there was one movie we all gave an A+ to. Casablanca.
Yeah, I think Casablanca we all were
or
Shawshank.
Okay, maybe.
Maybe both.
Maybe both.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, because those ended up with an A+, and the only way to get that is to be unanimous.
Right.
All right. Congrats, Captain Phillips.
This is our first unanimous non-perfect rating.
Poor Bilal. We hardly knew him.
Rest in peace, man.
Well, now that that's finally out of the way, maybe now we can finally move on to the
challenge.
The challenge?
The challenge.
Challenge. Very sultry.
Challenge, 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 challenge,
challenge, challenge, challenge.
In real life,
the challenge.
In real life, I did meet Rufio. I was at a party and he was playing video games, and I waited for him to stop, and I was like, "Can I take a picture?"
And did he Rufio?
I want to do a Vine where it's a bunch of
roosters crow.
Where it's a bunch of fratty guys at a bar, and they one of the guys has a drink, and there's a girl in the background, and they're just like, Rufio, Rufio, and the girl just leaves. She's like, "You no, not putting up with this." This week's challenge is I picked, so it's my challenge. We talked earlier about
you don't have to be so possessive about it,
guys. Come on, this is all
it's
about
my
me.
Challenge, and I want it now.
I was originally going to do something Star Trek related because there are also captains of ships on that. But
you know,
earlier
in your review, you said something about Captain Phillips floating around in a tin can, and I was like, far above the world,
space oddity.
Planet David Bowie. Earth is blue, and there's nothing I can do.
I also think Bones says something about space in a tin can. This movie does get Home Alone when he's leading them around the ship, and they're improvising ways to get the pirates, you know, hurt or stop their progress in some way. So I want to know what one or two, if you can think of a second one, booby traps, Home Alone-esque booby traps would you set up?
Using resources
on the ship. So, you know, maybe don't go, I'm going to swing a paint bucket down the stairs, but, and the glass is already taken.
Can I go first?
Yeah.
I mean, this is the easiest answer ever. You guys saw the first mate?
Yeah.
He was, grabbing stuff from the fridge. What did he have? Water and what? Bananas. Guys, banana peels.
Oh.
Of course.
Everywhere. Just banana peels everywhere. You eat all the bananas.
Of course.
You leave out the peels. The easiest
God,
thing ever. And you
think
put
of
it,
the
and
potassium.
You put, and you put them all right next to the edge of the boat, right? And they just, the problem takes care of itself.
They can climb up as many times as they want. We're going to have fresh banana peels waiting for them.
Guys, there was at least two bunches of bananas. So we got stock.
Nice.
Done.
Cool.
Okay.
Ryan, did you want to go? I can.
I'm still.
Okay.
Still
I'll
processing
I'll
go. Here. So go for it.
Okay. So here's the thing. We give them the ship. Hear me out.
Hang
we
on.
Just give them the ship. We say, okay, we'll give you the ship as long as we get to get off on your skiff, and hopefully there's enough room. You know, some people may
their
have to get sacrificed.
Their skiff or the lifeboat.
Skiff and the lifeboat, and we're all off, okay? Here's the ship, it's yours. But here's where we have a remote detonation device on every single... Actually, not even a detonation device, just an opening device for all of the cargo that we have on the ship. Now, what was the cargo? It wasn't food and water. Huge African tarantulas. All over the deck. They start taking, like, they're going crazy. They're attacking people, like, latching onto people's faces. And before you know it, they jump off into the ocean. Ship's yours again. All you got to do is corral all the tarantulas.
No, actually, African tarantulas are known to, once they take care of your invader problem, they will also just leave the boat.
Yeah.
That's a very they commit great suicide. Quality of
it's
African
like, well, now
tarantulas.
We got no cargo, but hey, at least we're all safe. That's it.
Excellent work.
Okay. Ryan, it's
so,
all you.
You know, they did sort of... They started this idea with pointing hoses down at them right. while they were attempting to get on the ship. What you do is you find like a long flat stretch on the outside of the boat and slick it down real good. And, you know, they're either barefoot or in flip flops. You mm-hmm. know, like they got no traction on those things. You get like the youngest looking member of the crew to go stand at the end of that long stretch and say, "Hey guys, bet you can't catch me," and then run away.
Uh-huh.
And then they'll be like, "I bet we can catch that kid." They run off after him, whoa, slip and slide all the way down.
Which is perfect because Bilal's rushing that fraternity for them, and frat bros love slip and slides.
Yeah,
dude, there's so much hazing of poor Bilal. Yeah. They just did not care. I can't feel my foot. Shut up, Bilal. Tie him up.
Shut up. We'll amputate it later.
And then they slide all the way to the end of the ship and fall off into the ocean.
They got like a guy with the right he's lifted the railing. Yeah. He's just waiting.
Hey guys, I have a Captain Phillips joke for you.
And okay. there's a couple more guys who have those what's the sport called in the Olympics?
Curling.
Curling. Oh. They have the curling.
Guys, what Olympic sport do the captors in this movie play?
Fishing. I want to watch Olympic fishing.
You ready?
Guys.
You ready?
What's that?
Basketball.
Woo! Oh man!
You're welcome, world.
Oh god! I think Ryan's got a migraine.
He's okay. Michael does that to me.
I don't know how. All right. So points.
They can only compete in the summer, though.
All right, Michael, you got 2 points for your banana strategy because your strategy both got rid of the pirates, like not just, you know, stopped them, but got them off the boat. We're safe with minimal loss of resources. So that's 2 points. Ryan, you also got 2 points for comedy. Just the image of like, "Hey man, you can't catch me. Woo!" And then, like, just the guy holding the railing and every, you know, I imagine everybody laughs and claps after that. And
and then they're like in the ocean. They turn, oh, you got us. And
they
the
turn
ocean.
A problem into yeah. a great opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah. So you got 2 points for that. And again, like Michael got them off the boat. James, you got 1 point because while you...
What? The tarantulas didn't do it for me?
While you did get them off the boat. I don't know if they actually. I think you're making that tarantula thing up. But more importantly, I was willing to like.
Actually,
give you
there
that.
Was a deleted
Wait,
scene.
You
where
think
they were like,
that I'm making up the fact that they were carrying tarantulas, huge boxes of tarantulas. I detest that, sir.
I gave you that.
You
though,
know, actually,
but...
the first time Tom Hanks met the tarantulas was shooting this movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
The
tarantula scene.
Which was unfortunately cut out. It's going to be a little hard for the crew to get back on board, so not quite as thought out. It's just not as neat.
They just used the ladder that they left on the side of the boat. Steven, you're
neat.
Thinking small here, man.
You're an
so
idiot.
So you got 1 point. But I gave Michael... I forgot to give points during the discussion. I'm sorry. I've been meaning to do that. But Michael got a point during the movie for making a Star Wars reference that I surprisingly didn't make myself. So Michael comes out of this with 3 points. Ryan has 2. James has 1. So Ryan... James has not won. He has 1 point, but Michael won. I just want to be clear.
No, Michael 4.
No, I had 3.
No, he had 3.
No, Michael 24, guys.
I'm 26.
26, guys.
Michael wins. So you get the pick
Yay!
Next week.
Guys, we are going to do a first for us. We are going to see a movie that is currently in theaters. We are going to go to the movies, and then we're going to record this.
A forest for us.
We are going to see a horror movie that is one of the best I've seen in quite a while. It Follows.
Yes. I've been meaning to watch that for a while now, actually. And I've heard nothing but good things.
Before you give us
Michael and I have both seen it, by the way.
Yeah, I have not.
Steven and James have not.
Before you give us a good question for our audience, I'd like to address the question we gave them last week. Last week, we asked you guys, what is your favorite Tom Hanks movie? And we got some comments from our very own Wes and Sasha. Hey. Wes said Forrest Gump. Sasha said Toy Story. Personally, Castaway is my favorite.
Solid picks.
What about you guys?
Hook. No, he's not even in that.
I was like, wait a second.
I still had Rufio on the brain.
I have Apollo 13 on the brain. Actually, no, I'm going to go Saving Private Ryan.
Okay. Michael, your favorite?
He has so many good ones. I'm probably between Toy Story 3 and Forrest Gump and Apollo 13.
I'm going to take back Castaway and say the Carly Rae Jepsen "I Really, 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 Really Like You" music video.
That counts.
It's actually not, but he's in that. Look it up.
I said it last week. Splash, guys. Come on. Splash.
But is that really your favorite Tom Hanks
movie? I'm probably going to have to go with Saving Private Ryan. Ryan.
Saving Private Ryan, Ryan?
I was a Ryan, comma, Ryan.
I agree with you, James.
yeah, that one is, God, so good. And I think it should have gotten Best Picture that year.
We'll save that discussion for another time.
Okay.
But Steven, what is our, or sorry, Michael, what is our...
got a question
what should we talk about next week?
So we're going to be diving into horror, which we haven't done in a little
diving,
while.
Diving, splash again.
Splashing, guys.
You start next week with negative 1 point.
Oh.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've done horror. And horror is a genre where more often than not, what you hear about are the classics. Newer movies tend not to hold up in the horror genre in terms of what people continue to talk about. What recent horror movies, we'll say from the year 2000 to the present, would you call a classic? One that will be remembered 50 years from now and still watched and still relevant? Let us know.
Cool. Yeah, you can, there's a myriad ways of getting in contact with us. You can write us in, fuarock@gmail.com. Tweet us at fuarock. At fuarockpodcast. You can write on the Hyperdrive Pictures Facebook wall or on our very own, our brand new
From Under a Rock
Facebook page.
Which is just facebook.com/FromUnderARock.
And yeah, we'd love to hear from you. We'd also just love to hear your opinion on It Follows.
Or you can text us, 512.
We're going to have to stop you there.
Okay. I was going to give my number. I was going to take the hit for the team.
I'm super excited.
Yeah, it'll be a fun
time. Watch that one again.
Yeah. I like I said, I've been meaning to watch that one for quite some time, and I haven't been able to get my roommate to come with me because he's scared.
Really?
He's scared. Yeah.
Now, have you seen a trailer?
Yes, actually.
Okay.
I haven't even seen the trailer.
I went into this movie literally having seen the poster and hearing that it was supposed to be good, and that's the extent of what I knew. And I loved seeing the way it unfolded, knowing nothing more than that. So I'm actually really excited to hear your thoughts on it when you'll be viewing it in pretty much the same way.
You know what else I'd like to see at some point, just putting it out there, The Babadook.
Oh, also, yes.
A very good movie.
I've heard good things about that one too. So.
All right. Steven, any YouTube stuff going on?
I have a bunch of videos from Power Morphicon that I never got to release because of all my hand stuff getting in the way. So I'm just going to be releasing those every Saturday. So Power Ranger interviews, Power Ranger super fan interviews. So people like Andre Meadows from Black Nerd Comedy, Anamiya Cosplay, Mega 64. We got interviews with them. A bunch of Rangers, like I said before. And actually, I worked with Third String Kicker, who also, like last week, I've been watching for a while. So it was fun to work with them. After moving out here, they released a video called What Facebook is Like for Women, which I did the effects for. And I actually, some of the desperate chats in that video are real life ones that I have used. So go look at some of my failed attempts at talking with women on Facebook.
That sounds fun.
That's exactly what I want to do.
When I think of, if you can guess I have some free time. What do I want to do? Oh, Steven's written women on Facebook before. Let's check that out.
If you can correctly guess like which one of those chats are mine, I don't know what you win, but you win something.
You'll
let us know.
Steven will call you and tell you about his finger.
Yeah. As punishment. Yeah. All right. I think that's going to do it for this week's episode. Let's go around the table for one last roll call.
I am Michael Ornelas. Mike Bourbon.
I'm James McDoodles.
I'm Steven Subin, the Burb Suburban Zarita the Jerk.
And I'm Ryan Evans. Thank you once again for joining us for another episode of
From Under a Rock.
Don't forget to subscribe and leave a rating on iTunes.
And if you're going to do it,
video podcast exclusive. Magic.
Oh, that's so
video
amazing.
Video podcast exclusive.
Our audience is throwing up right now.
Do you ever wonder where your beef comes from?
Kinda.
Do you ever cut into some mystery meat and just gag?
Not once.
Do you even think that fillet is flat out fake?
Dude, chill.
Then you need Legitimate Steaks. Legitimate Steaks are the product of the only slaughterhouse in the world that offers the courtesy of proving their steaks are exactly what they say they are. Using top-of-the-line time-lapse camera technology, Legitimate Steaks keeps a camera on your steak from the moment the cow is born to the point of sale. You can fast-forward pretty easily to the major moments in the production process: slaughter, dismemberment, obtaining your specific cut, packing, and delivering. The video even ends with you receiving the steak so you can experience starring in your very own movie! Legitimate Steaks, painfully real. Legitimate Steaks does not guarantee ethical animal treatment. The video is unedited and contains graphic images of unnecessarily evil cow slaughter. Only half of the cows end up as meat. The other half is just practice. VHS format is outdated and not supported.
I was tired of cutting into my steaks and just finding a shitload of cotton candy and shit. Legitimate Steaks is just what I needed. I got my copy of the videotape on the laser discs. And I watched the entire thing for 5 years. I gave 5 years of my life to finding out whether this steak was legitimate or not. By God, it was.
Laserdisc format is supported.